We're joined right now here on The Jordan Rich Show by Diana E. Sheets, and she is an author and a very interesting person. Has a great website, literarygulag.com. Check that out. She's got a new book called The Cusp of Dreams. Very intriguing cover, by the way, Diana. We'll talk about that. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You have a PhD in modern history, European history, and you also have worked as somebody in industry with publishing and I know sales. So this book that you'll talk about has got a lot of you in it, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, they always say that the first novel that you write is the most autobiographical, and to some degree that's true. I was in corporate sales in the Metro New York area for 12 years, and I saw people who were having trouble getting up in the morning and doing their job, and they weren't earning a living wage, and I felt that it just told a very compelling story, and that if I didn't write this story, readers would, you know, really not understand what it's like for people struggling to make it.
The American dream is at play here, as it would be in, say, Death of a Salesman and other stories. It's a question of striving and not necessarily achieving.
Right, and what I was really, I grew up in Eugene O'Neill territory, so theater really was the foundations for my fiction, and what I was struck by with Death of a Salesman and the story of Willie Loman is this is a story of personal failure. You know, he's not able to provide for his family. But when you get to David Mamet's Glengarry Glen Ross, which was written in the early 80s and was made into a movie in the early 90s, both of which won Pulitzer Prizes, you're getting a societal failure. There's a bunch of men who are doing commercial real estate, and they're just vicious and nasty and rotten. But what struck me about Mamet's play is that there are no women in this landscape. Even though it, you know, was written in the early 80s and made into a film in the early 90s, it feels like the 50s, but it's got the vulgarity of the 80s.
Indeed.
So what I, you know, I wanted to put women into the picture and ask what happens when they work in a man's world and become like the men they're competing with.
Right, that's what The Cusp of Dreams takes us to, and you have a main character who's a female. Everything seems to revolve around her, correct?
Right. It starts off looking as if it's individual stories, and Sue is the narrator, common to the whole story from beginning to end, and she's in a man's world, and she's, you know, she's tough, and she's resilient, and she's bottom-line driven, but the people who work for her, by and large, aren't. And so these are different stories of individuals struggling to survive, and some are more successful than others, but some quit, some are fired, some steal. But I think, actually, the reader, when they, you know, when they read these stories, can have a, you know, they can take a lot from this in terms of their own life, their own struggles, and where they go from there. And it's done with comedy, so that, you know, the pain is palpable.
Well, let's talk about the pain and the fact that it doesn't bode well in America today when we have so many people struggling to even find a job. The economy is so bad that, you know, the idea of working and striving and succeeding and having pride in your work and being honest, not that those are dead issues, but they're certainly in flux these days.
They certainly are. I think what was very prescient about this novel is that it's written in the 80s through 2000, but it's about the death of manufacturing in America. And I'm just not convinced that if you're no longer a manufacturing society, whether you can be viable. And so the problems we're having today are a consequence of having lost the ability to manufacture. It's all over in China, and I think it's really been responsible for the loss of jobs.
Yeah, you're right. You take a look at how things have changed. Even in the last 10 to 15 years, even our service businesses are going overseas.
Yes, and I think for anyone who's ever had, you know, dealing with the call centers in India, and you just don't have a sense of having a personal relationship. And I think for Americans struggling to work, it's the sense that I don't count anymore. It doesn't matter how hard I work. No matter what I do, there are, you know, the numbers are guiding the solution rather than individual initiative. So,
and the burnout factor, too, which is evident in your book, the fact that people are so gung-ho maybe early on, and then they burn out pretty quickly. In some cases, they lose their lives.
In some cases. You know, the first character, Bill, is he just, it's questionable. Did he commit suicide or did he just die? But in any case, his family's lives were hanging in the balance. And how do you, what do you do to provide for your family when you can no longer pay the bills? But I think, you know, despite the fact that things are very tough and I don't think they're going to get all that much easier, I think it really helps when you have a sense of you're able to laugh through the pain and you're able to pick yourself up and go again. And I think, you know, this is really, in a sense, it's a story of the death of the American dream, mm-hmm. but in some sense also the characters, at least the ones that persevere, they never stop trying.
Do you miss any of that corporate life?
You know, in the beginning, you know, I came out of academe, and I found corporate sales, to be honest, quite a relief from academe. You could be aggressive, you could be assertive, you could, if you did your work, you could really be very successful, and I loved that. And I didn't think initially I would, but I really enjoyed doing it. I loved the customers. I was calling on small to medium-sized businesses, and they were all the owners of their own businesses. And they were wonderful characters. They're not in the novel because basically they're not broken. And I really felt they reflected the best in America. Mm. But by the last job I had was with Xerox in New York, and I was selling locomotive printers. And Manhattan's not a place to sell a big printer. You want to sell it in Kansas. And it was very, very dysfunctional. And it was making me almost ill, because I'm a very honest person, and I felt that I couldn't represent the company the way I wanted to or the products, and it was going to be hard to be profitable. And it was a very, very difficult time. And I, you know, I have a lot of family that's in corporate sales, and every time I go back and talk to the people at Xerox, there's just, you know, one downsizing after another, and you just, you have to have a lot of sympathy for people who are weathering those storms.
Talking with Diana E. Sheets. By the way, before we wrap up here, you have this serialized on your website, The Cusp of Dreams, and you're also a Kindle person, aren't you?
I am. The novel is also now available in the Apple iBookstore. It's in Kindle. It's if they want the paperback version, it's available at Lulu. And in about a month, you'll be able to get it at Barnes & Noble and Amazon.
Well, it's called The Cusp of Dreams, Diana E. Sheets. People have compared it to, Death of a Salesman for 2010, in a sense, because it has to do with the death of the American dream. But there is some hope, and there are some laughs. So, Diana, thank you very much for spending a few minutes with us. And your website, literarygulag.com, has some very interesting stuff.
Thank you very much.
Diana E. Sheets, and we'll be back with more right after this.